the sleep foundation. When you have this, you can weather these bumps and sleep disruptions in the best way possible and then quickly get sleep back on track for the whole family. Awake versus asleep. Multiple research studies have found that babies and toddlers who are put into bed already asleep are more likely to wake up during the night and less likely to be self-soothers. A National Sleep Foundation poll on children's sleep found that infants and toddlers who were put to bed asleep tended to sleep about an hour less at night than those who were put to bed awake. Those who were put to bed asleep were nearly three times as likely to wake two or more times compared to those who are put to bed awake. Your child's bedroom. The sights, sounds, and feel of your child's bedroom environment play a big role in promoting sleep. The following are important for babies, toddlers, preschoolers, and school-aged children, and they apply no matter where your child sleeps. Light. Your child is exquisitely attuned to light, which is the primary signal to her internal clock. Install blinds or hang curtains that block early morning rays and make the room very dark for nap time. We often ask parents if their baby's room is dark, and they say it definitely is. When we look for ourselves, we see that it's not even close to being dark enough. Bright home lights can suppress the release of melatonin, which naturally rises as we near bedtime, and interfere with your child's ability to fall asleep. In the evening, lower the lights in the house an hour before bedtime and use a dim lamp during bedtime routine to help your child's body wind down. If she wakes in the night, use a nightlight instead of bright overhead lights. Darkening shades or curtains that can be pulled back in the morning are best, so the room can have natural light. In the morning, pull back the shades. This is like pressing start on your child's internal clock. Sound. Use a low fan or nature sounds to block ambient noise from siblings, barking dogs, and so forth. Smell. Keep the air fresh in your child's room so that the smell and air quality are pleasant. Open the windows during the day to let air circulate. Use a low fan or air purifier to keep a gentle flow of moving air. Feel. Give your child a comfortable, firm sleep surface and soft sheets. If your older child is using a pillow, it should be the right size for his body, supporting his neck in alignment with his spine, not craned upward. Most children don't need pillows until they are at least 2 years old, and many don't use them until they move to a big bed. Temperature. Keep the room cool, around 65 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit. It may sound chilly, but cooler temperatures are generally better for sleep. If it's hot and you do not have air conditioning, use a fan to bring in cooler outside air at night. Don't overbundle your baby for sleeping. No television. Children who have a television in their bedroom tend to sleep less at night and are also less likely to take a nap than those with no TV in their room. Design. Your child's room should be a peaceful space that makes you both feel relaxed and comfortable. Early, consistent bedtime. One of the best ways to help your baby sleep is to set an early and consistent bedtime. Between 7 and 7:30 p.m. works well for most. When babies and young children stay up later than this, they often become overtired and overstimulated as levels of stress hormones like cortisol begin to rise in their bodies. This can make them activated, moody, and even less likely to be able to wind down and fall asleep. The sweet spot for putting your baby to bed is before this happens. Try not to wait until she shows classically tired signs like yawning and rubbing her eyes. The optimal bedtime is when your baby is quietly talking, playing, and in a good mood. Staying up too late can also cause your baby to wake up earlier in the morning. Counterintuitive, right? Whereas an early bedtime often begets longer and longer stretches of sleep over time. Setting an early bedtime can feel like a major adjustment, especially if you're an evening person. But an early bedtime truly optimizes sleep for babies and young children whose bodies are naturally programmed for early rising. You might notice that your baby wakes up at the same time in the morning, no matter what time she goes to bed. Put her to bed at 9 p.m., and she wakes at 6 a.m. Put her to bed at 7 p.m., and she wakes at 6 a.m. That's a powerful internal alarm. Putting your child to sleep early allows her the best chance of sleeping a full 11 to 12 hours. Your baby's circadian system is quite mature now, so regularity is important. This kind of schedule creates a dilemma for a lot of parents. With such an early bedtime, mom or dad gets home too late to see the kids. We know this is a tough spot, and we've had to juggle this fact with our own families too. But a full night's sleep is so important to your child's development. It's better for her to be well rested than to routinely keep her up for the purpose of seeing you. You might also see that when mom or dad comes home from work, the energy and excitement disrupts bedtime routines and delays sleep even more. It doesn't mean you can never be flexible, but the majority of nights keep to your child's bedtime. Carve out another time, like the morning routine or a weekend swim class, to give the parent who misses out in the evenings the much-needed bonding time. For parents who work late and aren't able to get baby down at 7 p.m., 7:30 or even 8 p.m. is okay, as long as baby still gets at least 11 hours of sleep. Some babies adjust better to a later bedtime than others. Work schedules and bedtime. Aaron. My husband John rarely got home in time to see Riley before her bedtime. When I tried keeping her up so they could see each other, her sleep really fell apart and it truly wasn't worth it. We came up with the solution of having Daddy get up with her at 6:30 in the morning and spend an hour playing and having a bottle. They came to treasure this time together, and I got a luxurious extra hour of sleep. This eventually gave John the confidence to begin spending more one-on-one time with Riley on the weekends. Just as some adults are natural night owls and others are larks or morning people, kids can also have these innate biological tendencies. However, often what looks like genuine night owl behavior is a result of an inconsistent bedtime, bedtime routine, or difficulty self-soothing. If you truly have a night owl child, you may notice that she's able to stay awake until 8 p.m. and sleep until 7 a.m. consistently and is happy with this schedule. If so, that's great, and it may work well with your own sleep schedule too. On the other hand, if your night owl baby still wakes up at 6:30 a.m., you'll want to make sure her bedtime is no later than 7:30 p.m. Even children with night owl tendencies can usually do well with early bedtimes if they are consistent. In fact, a baby with this tendency might need you to be extra consistent and clear with bedtime practices to help her wind down and get a full night's sleep. Bedtime routines. Babies are highly sensitive to routine. A a calming, consistent set of steps leading up to bedtime signals to your child's brain and body that sleep is just around the corner. Your baby is a little scientist, and she's always looking for patterns in her environment. She wants you to do things the same way each day. Repetition is soothing to her. In the newborn months, you had a lot of wiggle room to do whatever worked. Sometimes you put your baby to sleep at 9 p.m. and other nights 6:30 p.m. Sometimes you sang a song and rocked her to sleep, and other nights she fell asleep while feeding. But if you haven't already, now is the time to start doing the exact same thing in the same order every night before bed. Sample bedtime routines. Your baby's routine can last for 30 to 60 minutes or more, depending on how many steps it contains and whether you have multiple children. These are just examples. You will find your own special steps. Just be sure you choose soothing rather than activating ones and keep the same order with a calm tone. 6-month-old. Bath, pajamas, feeding, books, say goodnight to objects in the room, lights out, songs, cuddle, sway, bed. 12-month-old. Bath, pajamas, feeding, baby-led play, books, say goodnight to the objects in the room, lights out, songs, cuddle, sway, goodnight kiss, bed. 20-month-old. Bath, pajamas, books, lights out, tell a story about the day, song, goodnight kiss, bed. The soothing, repetitive routine. Make your baby's bedtime routine an enjoyable, calming set of steps that are the same from night to night. The what of the routine doesn't matter as much as the how. Even turning on a certain type of music, lowering the lights in the house, and doing very small behaviors such as drawing the curtains, turning on the fan, saying goodnight to objects in the room with a quiet voice, or arranging blankets just so, become a cue for sleep if you repeat these steps every night. Drowsiness develops into a Pavlovian-like response for your baby if your actions are calm and consistent. Watch the way your simple behaviors, if they're slow, almost methodical and consistent, can trigger a calming reflex in your baby. It's best to do the last steps of your routine in your baby's bedroom and the very last step, for example, singing a song, with the lights out, so that your baby has a moment with you in the dark before you leave the room. Dim lights and disconnect. Dim the lights in your home an hour before bedtime to help your child's brain and body wind down. Avoid having your baby watch TV before bed, as this can delay her ability to fall asleep. It's also better not to make TV a strong sleep association that your baby and eventually your child grows into needing. Lights, electronics, and bedtime. The lights in your home, including overhead lights and light from electronic screens on devices like tablets and computers, can interfere with your child's ability to fall asleep. This is because light suppresses the release of melatonin, a chemical that naturally rises as we begin to feel drowsy before bed. This is especially true of blue light, which is emitted by a lot of electronics. Use dim lights for night lights. Red light has the least powerful effect on melatonin secretion, so you could replace your baby's nightlight with a red bulb, which will be the least alerting light source. Wind down the house. Shift the energy in the house, including your own, roughly 30 to 60 minutes before your baby's bedtime. The older they get, the more children believe that by going to sleep, they're missing out on a party in the living room. If your child gets the sense that the whole house is settling down, it becomes much easier for her to let go and shift into bedtime mode. Routines grow with babies. Yes, consistency is key with routines, but remember that your baby's routine will grow with her. Sometimes we meet families who say their toddler's routine is still bath, massage, rocking, and milk. A great routine for a very young baby, but not a great fit for an alert, curious older one. The trick is to make your bedtime routine age-appropriate and engaging, like telling a story about the day with your toddler, while still being calm. Some babies like to have their bedtime books read to them as they move around and explore the area, rather than in the quintessential side-by-side pose. This can also help them tap into their internal regulation and be in charge of calming down their nervous systems in preparation for sleep. Baby-led play. Baby-led play warms up your child's self-soothing skills before bedtime. To do this, you simply get down on the ground and follow your baby's interests and play behaviors for 10 to 20 minutes. This is an option. Try it out and see if it helps you and your baby shift modes. If it fits in your bedtime routine, it's often easier to accommodate if you have only one child. You can decide when in the routine it will come. At 5 to 6 months, baby-led play can be simply watching your baby practice rolling, picking up a similar toy, and occasionally narrating what she is doing or mirroring her movements and sounds. As her play grows more complex and creative, you may be called upon to join your child in imaginary play. The key is that it's calm and that you follow rather than lead. We often hear about babies starting to cry the minute the parent enters their bedroom to start the routine. Including baby-led play in their room as a predictable step in their bedtime routine can really turn this around. Now your little one will look forward to this special time when she gets to be in charge and show you a thing or two. Sleep solutions. Falling asleep independently and sleeping through the night. The sleep wave. If you put your baby to sleep at the beginning of the night using feeding, motion, or something similar, this is the place to start to improve her sleep. Remember that babies are smart little pattern detectors, and typically, by 4 to 5 months, they become very aware and very attached to their sleep associations. If you are still soothing your baby all the way to sleep, or virtually to sleep, at bedtime or in the middle of the night, this association is probably very strong. At this age and older, it's difficult to change this pattern gradually. To transfer the role of soothing to your baby after 4 to 5 months of age, you'll need a sleep approach that is very clear. In fact, you may notice that with your older baby, helping actually makes things worse. We often find that the same feeding, swinging, or rocking that supports newborn sleep seems to hinder an older baby's sleep. Over time, as parents continue to help their child, sleep plateaus or even regresses. These are some signs that your baby's cognitive development is clicking along, her awareness is growing, and she is ready to shift to doing the soothing herself. You're helping ways, like feeding, rocking, or strolling, begin taking longer and longer to get your child to sleep. Your baby wakes more during the night, skips naps, or takes very short naps. Your baby wakes up the minute you lower her into the crib or very soon after. Your baby arches her back or struggles slightly as you hold and try to soothe her to sleep. Rather than becoming sleepier, your baby seems activated by your presence. These are signs that you, with the best of intentions, are actually getting in the way of your baby's sleep. Your baby is telling you, I need to do this soothing to sleep part on my own. It may not seem like it right now, but your baby is able to fall asleep independently and sleep for long stretches at night, if not a full 11 to 12 hours. The problem is that if your baby has become reliant on external soothing, this is now masking her innate ability to sleep well. Even though older babies are able to take over the role of self-soothing, they get confused by the blurred lines around who is actually doing the soothing. Setting up new sleep patterns will actually grow your baby's brain. We know that as babies practice new behaviors, like accessing their self-soothing abilities, they create and begin to strengthen neural pathways in the brain. It's kind of like creating a new path in a forest. At first, you can barely see it, but as you travel it over and over, it becomes clear and obvious. For babies, and for all of us, those well-traveled pathways become easy and natural to follow the more they are traveled. The sleep wave will help you pass the baton of soothing to your capable baby. In this section, we'll walk you through this technique, a simple and effective method that will allow your baby to practice putting herself to sleep and will help her sleep for a full night too. As you listen, you can decide to keep feedings in place if you wish. Listen to this entire section before starting to use the sleep wave. You can use the sleep wave planner in the appendix. Remember that babies don't need to be trained to sleep. They naturally have this capacity. Using the sleep wave will help you back away from habits that are not needed and create a clear pattern to your behavior and response. Once your baby detects, tests, and trusts that pattern, she can relax, turn inward, and access her natural ability to fall asleep. Before you start the sleep wave, number one, review healthy sleep habits. Make sure you have put the healthy sleep habits, which you heard about earlier in this chapter, in place. Please listen to this section before moving forward. Number two, make adjustments to the room environment. Make sure that you have the right bedroom elements in place and that your child is comfortable and familiar with her room. If your baby is sleeping in your room, but your goal is for her to transition to her own room, this is a good time to do it. Allow her a little awake playtime to get comfortable in her room before starting your sleep plan. You can dress the crib in her new room for play, adding a bright sheet, toys, and maybe a mobile during the day. Have her spend some playtime in there for a few days, both with you nearby and on her own. Redress the crib for sleep and practice putting her down there for naps or the first segment of nighttime sleep. Your child should be familiar with her sleeping place before starting the sleep wave. Number three, when you start the sleep wave, you'll be removing your unhelpful sleep associations while making sure all helpful ones are in place. For example, it's a good idea to give your child a lovey if you haven't already. Number 4, set your baby's schedule. In the Healthy Sleep Habits section, we asked you to set an early bedtime. Now that you're starting the sleep wave, you'll also set your child's wake-up time to be at least 11 hours after bedtime. So for example, if bedtime is 7 p.m., then wake-up time will be no earlier than 6 a.m. Number 5, choose the right time. Is your family ready for a structured sleep plan? Make sure your baby is at least 5 months old. There's no minimum weight requirement for using the sleep wave. However, if you are thinking about weaning from nighttime feedings and you have any concerns about your baby's weight gain, growth, or health in general, consult your doctor. You and your baby are healthy and have no vaccine scheduled in the next 2 weeks. The house is stable for the next 2 weeks, meaning that you will not travel, go back to work, or undergo any other major changes. Number 6, parents must be on the same page. We can't emphasize enough how important consistency is when you're working on sleep. And one of the most common places for a break in consistency is between the behaviors of each parent. This happens for many reasons. One parent badly wants a change while the other feels fine with the status quo. One parent feels uncomfortable with the plan. One parent is an expert on the plan, but the other isn't fully versed in the details. One parent adheres to the plan consistently, but then goes out of town. You see what we mean. This is why we strongly recommend that if there are two parents in the house, both of you listen to this chapter and then sit down together and write out the plan for yourselves. Your baby will pick up on your calm consistency and feel secure when all parties are on the same page. This can make or break your success in changing a sleep pattern. Sleep can be a big source of tension for many couples, especially if each person has a different idea of what's best. And the middle of the night is the worst time to debate and decide how to respond to your child. If you've each got your own tactics, it leads to too many tricks in the bag and the sense that nothing is working. One of the benefits of following a structured sleep plan is that you no longer have to doubt yourself or each other as you troubleshoot sleep issues. This is why when we do sleep consults, we ask both partners to be present so they can hear and understand the plan together. The sleep wave method. When your child is practicing a new way to fall asleep, there's often protesting and crying involved. You are changing a pattern she is so used to. It's at this point that parents get confused about how to respond. Do I go in the room? Do I comfort her? Do I leave her alone? If you don't respond to your child at all, she'll likely start to wonder where you are, and after a while she might begin to feel worried or fearful. But if you swoop in and help soothe, you'll confuse her as to who's in charge of soothing to sleep. The sleep wave is the way to do both. Respond and let your child know you're close while making it crystal clear to her that soothing to sleep is her job. Your goal here is to pass the baton of soothing to your child. When you do this, you'll be surprised to see that your baby has her unique way of getting comfy and falling asleep. It's actually a very sweet and amazing process to watch once your baby has shifted from protesting to accessing her own abilities. We've seen babies do this in so many ways. Some roll to their bellies and tuck their knees underneath them. Some put their legs up the side of the crib. Others rock back and forth, nuzzle their blankets. Each individual baby has a special way of making herself comfortable and drifting off to sleep. You won't know your baby's personal technique for falling asleep, and your baby won't know either, until you give her enough space to develop it. The reason we call this method the sleep wave is that we want you, the parent, to imagine yourself as a wave in the ocean. Your repetitive, rhythmic visits as you roll in and out are a constant, predictable response for your child. You come and go in a reliable way, and this is key to a healthy attachment. Your baby, who is a natural little scientist, constantly looking for patterns, will learn how you move through this method, always responding to let her know you're there, but not reverting to doing the soothing for her. Once she detects, tests, and finally trusts your wave pattern, she will relax, turn inward, and access her own self-soothing abilities. For the fastest learning, we recommend using the sleep wave starting at bedtime and continuing to use it in exactly the same way with any nighttime wakings, after any nighttime feedings, and with naps the next day. This gives your baby the most consistent pattern of your response. If your baby is feeding at night, listen to the section on feeding and decide either to wean or keep those feedings in place. You can use the sleep wave at bedtime and after feedings as well, with or without weaning those feedings. The exact steps of the sleep wave. Number one, put your baby down awake. After bedtime routine, put your baby down drowsy but awake. Give her a pat and say a few words like, "It's time for sleeping. Mommy's right outside. I love you." And leave the room. The statement you say before leaving the room is your script, which you will use during your visits if your child is crying. Create your own script and write it down so you and anyone else who puts your baby to sleep is saying and doing exactly the same thing. It's crucial that it is repeated word for word and not changed or expanded. Good to know. Your baby's brain has an abundance of mirror neurons that absorb emotions from people around her. Approach this process with confidence so that your baby feels good about sleep. Be positive and envision a good outcome. Your baby is very sensitive to your physical and emotional state. Your tone should be calm and matter-of-fact. What you're conveying to your baby is that you believe in her abilities and will respond reliably until she trusts the new pattern. Number two, the 5-minute check. If your baby starts to cry, really cry, not just fuss, squawk, or whine, wait for 5 minutes. Go into the room, stand either at the door or at the side of the crib, somewhere where your baby can see and hear you, and say your script in a matter-of-fact, confident tone. Your visit should only last as long as it takes to walk in, say your script, and walk out, about 7 to 10 seconds. The check is only to let baby know you're there. The check is not at all meant to calm her down or help her fall asleep. Don't soothe, touch, or pick your baby up. Let your baby sense that you give her credit for what you know she's capable of, and you will continue to do your checks until she trusts the pattern and falls asleep. This is key. Initially, the parent who feels more confident is the best one to do the checks, but you can alternate parents too. If one parent needs to step outside the house to regroup while the other one takes over and does the checks, that's okay. It's not uncommon for babies to protest and cry for 20 to 60 minutes at bedtime, and occasionally this period is longer on the second or third night. Good to know. When the sleep wave isn't working as well as we expect, it's often because the parent is staying in the room too long, trying to calm, soothe, and help. The paradox is that the well-meaning helping actually makes it much harder for the baby to turn inward. When you deviate from your plan and change your behavior even slightly, by rubbing her back when you go in for one of your checks, for example, your baby then has to spend energy guessing what you're going to do next, or decoding your behavior and wondering if her protest has resulted in this help from you. Number 3, the wave. If she's still crying, wait another 5 minutes and repeat step 2 exactly. If the crying stops, reset the time to 0 and go back in if cries start again and last for 5 minutes. Returning every 5 minutes if she's crying helps your baby detect your pattern. Resist the urge to lengthen the time. Your baby needs your visits to be 100% predictable. If your baby is whining or crying intermittently, it can be hard to tell exactly when to go in. Use your best judgment and try to give your baby space if she's simply talking, grumbling, or mildly protesting. But do your check when she has been truly crying for 5 minutes. Good to know. Sometimes parents tell us, "This doesn't work. Every time I go in, my baby gets louder and madder." What we say is that's exactly what we expect to happen initially. You've got to be prepared to ride the hump. This is the period, usually the first, second, or third night, when your baby is testing the new pattern and may protest for a long time. The reason we want you to keep the intervals at exactly 5 minutes is that this amount of time is short enough and the frequency always predictable so that there is no risk that your baby moves beyond the protest stage into even the wondering where you are stage. Yes, she'll get louder and madder, but with the frequency and predictability of your visits, she will still feel safe and secure. You are responding to her. You are just not responding the way you used to. Once she trusts your new pattern, she will stop protesting, relax, and turn inward to her own very capable sleep abilities. This can take time. Babies are very good little scientists. They like lots of data before they feel certain. We know the sleep wave works because over the years, we've seen it happen for thousands of parents and babies. Number 4. Good morning. Set a wake-up time that is 11 hours after bedtime. Before this time, you will implement the sleep wave for any awakenings your baby has. If your baby is still feeding at night and you wish to wean from one or more feedings, you will need to do so gradually. Any time after the set wake-up time, greet your baby and make it clear that this is morning. Gently open the blinds, give her a big smile, and sing a little song. Soon, her internal clock will register when it's time to wake up. We don't recommend waking your baby up in the morning, even if 11 hours have passed. Ideally, you'll let her sleep end naturally. If you're consistent, most babies figure out the pattern in 2 to 4 days, and nighttime sleep will improve. Learning often happens more quickly if you apply the sleep wave at nighttime and daytime sleep simultaneously. Listen for more on naps and the sleep wave at nap time later in this chapter. Crying. It's really difficult to hear your child cry. If you're like most loving parents, you might worry that you're harming your child by allowing her to cry without helping, especially because you probably know just what to do to fix the problem. Feeding, rocking, lying down with your child. But instead, you're sitting on your hands. Some parents worry that their child will be mad at them in the morning, or that it will hurt their relationship with their baby, or their baby's sense of attachment. Your baby is crying because she's protesting change. You're doing things differently now. You're altering a well-entrenched pattern. You, or a swing, stroller, or other sleep association, used to be in charge of soothing, and now your child is the one in charge. It's a difficult shift to make, and we can't blame our babies for having strong feelings about it. When she cries, your baby is initially saying, "Hey, hey, hey, what's going on here? This isn't the way we do things." If you are consistent, she will move to, "Huh, I'm starting to detect a pattern here," to finally, "I trust this pattern, feel safe, and now can get down to the business of soothing myself to sleep." You are responding to your baby. You're just not taking back the role of soothing to sleep. Remember that it's okay for your baby to feel frustrated and to struggle. You can't expect her to be content at every moment. Imagine that your baby wanted to climb a bookcase or your older child wanted to eat chocolate bars for dinner, but you said no. There are lots of moments in which you know you could do something to make your child temporarily happier, but that wouldn't lead to longer-term happiness. Remember that sometimes the moments of frustration are your baby's best learning opportunities. We've been there too, so we know this can be hard. We also know thousands of precious and happy babies, toddlers, and kids who have gone through this period of shifting to using their self-soothing capacities. The feedback we consistently get from our families is that when they stay consistent with the plan, they are proud and amazed at their child's abilities, and the whole family is happier, less stressed, and more balanced overall. Loving mama nervous about letting baby cry. Lindsay. I was one of those expectant moms who thought her baby would magically sleep on her own. She would nap during the day and sleep peacefully at night in the bassinet next to our bed. I thought I would never allow Blake to cry. After all, I am her mama, and she just needs mama's love. Flash forward 4 months, and baby has worked her way into our bed and is nursing at all times during the night. My husband was on board with the sleepway, but I was reluctant. I did not want to disappoint my sweet girl. I did not want to hurt the bond and trust that I had been working so hard to attain. Close to her turning 5 months, the sleep deprivation started to get the best of me, as well as my lack of any personal space. So I decided that we would give the sleep wave a try. On the first night, I cried more than she did, which was 5 minutes. On the second night, she took 12 minutes to settle in, and on the third night, no tears at all. We are now 3 weeks plus into the sleep wave, and she is sleeping through the night. 5 months really is the magic age. We are a much happier, healthier, and well-rested family. There is no reason to think that periods of crying against the backdrop of loving and attentive parenting have a negative impact on children. Quite the opposite. In fact, research on this topic says that structured sleep plans work and that they increase well-being for the whole family. What we have discovered, happily, is that the checks can be this frequent and still work extremely well if the plan is followed carefully. We recommend checking on your child every 5 minutes so that her tears are ones of protest, not worry, fear, or abandonment. This is neither a cry it out nor an attachment style parenting approach. Remember that in psychological terms, attachment means being there to support your little one while also encouraging her to learn, develop, and move toward independence. This is fundamental to raising a happy, healthy child. Passing the job of soothing, which will involve some tears of protest, to your capable baby is very much in line with attachment theory. Mantras for parents. These are short, helpful, and supportive thoughts to tell yourself or to envision while you and your child are working on sleep. Create your own or use ours. It's okay for my baby to struggle or feel frustrated. My baby is protesting because we're changing a strong pattern. She has feelings about it, and that's okay. I'm helping my baby get enough sleep so that she is healthy and feels rested during the day. She needs to sleep well. I want her brain and body to get the nutrition they need from adequate sleep. We, as parents, need to get back to sleeping normally so that we can be attentive and available to our children during the day. I want my baby to go to bed feeling confident in her ability to get comfortable and fall asleep on her own. Picture your child sleeping peacefully and how much the family will enjoy one another when you've all slept well. I want my baby to acquire healthy sleep habits for a lifetime. I want my baby's sleep development to be on track rather than delayed. We as parents are ready to feel better rested so we can have some time for each other. Our mantra for you. Every time you complete a 5-minute check consistently, a big chunk of money goes into your bank account. You are accruing sleep wealth. If you break the pattern, you lose all of your money. The sleep wave with a verbal child. Babies and kids vary a lot in their behaviors and the sounds they make while you're using the sleep wave. When you're working on sleep with a toddler, he might stand at the side of the crib, talk, and summon you in a much more sophisticated way than would a 9-month-old baby. It might feel hard to hear your toddler call to you with such clear words, but the fundamental idea of the sleep wave is the same no matter what your child's age. If those clear cries of mama or dada pull extra hard at your heartstrings, we understand. You can, however, find solace in the fact that by this age, your little talker knows in an even more concrete way that between checks, you are not far away. He also has the brain power to detect, test, and quickly trust the repetitive, predictable pattern of your behavior during your checks. It may feel more difficult to stay consistent, but there is no concern that he will feel abandoned or worried. If your child is at the age, typically 18 months or older, when his verbal abilities are advanced enough, you might want to try the following. Do some rehearsals during the day with puppets or stuffed animals to show your toddler what bedtime will now look like. Make sure that your child's bedtime routine is growing with him, adding in quiet, child-led play, books, and songs that are interesting and calming. If your child is more than 2 years old, we recommend listening to the information in the next chapter, which deals with bedtime resistance and the sleep wave with older children. Consistency is key. Remember, you are a rhythmic and steady wave. You let your baby know that you are there so he doesn't feel abandoned or fearful. He may get pretty loud, but he won't be worried or fearful because of your responsive, predictable presence. But also remember, if you blur the lines by soothing him, even a little on your visit, it will confuse him and prolong the process. Give him space to practice his skills. Exude confidence in him. He will absorb that feeling. One of the reasons we underscore consistency in this approach is that we've noticed it actually leads to parents being more responsive overall. When parents try gentle methods that involve a greater amount of soothing on the parent's part, it tends to make the baby cry even more because he's confused, or if it doesn't work, it results in parents taking a harsher approach or not responding to the baby at all, which we would never advise. Your baby is geared to test the world. Your job is to give him plenty of reliable data. The more you stay calm and consistent, the sooner he will grow to trust the pattern of your response. Two parents, one consistent plan. Katya. We were nervous about trying the sleep wave with Nadia, but it really was a complete game changer. We were the dorks who wrote our script on a dry erase board to make sure we were being consistent. The advice for me and my husband to create our plan together and be on the same page made all the difference. It also helped my anxiety to be encouraged to wait until 5 months when Nadia was cognitively more mature and aware that we still existed when we weren't right there. She progressed very quickly and within 2 to 3 nights was falling asleep on her own with ease. The sleep wave with 6-month-old Ella. Tara. Initially, the sleep wave worked great for Ella after only a few nights. A few weeks later, she began to protest at bedtime again. We realized that my husband, Colin, was staying too long for the checks and trying to help by shushing and rubbing Ella's back, which blurred the lines for her. Once he followed the no soothing instructions to a T, it made all the difference in the world, and Ella went back to falling asleep on her own very easily. Top 11 reasons the sleep wave isn't working. Number 1. The parent doing the 5-minute checks is doing even a little bit of soothing beyond responding with presence in the room and the few words of the script. For example, rubbing baby's back while in the room. This is very confusing and motivates the baby to continue reaching out externally instead of turning inward. When this happens, the baby isn't working on his innate soothing capacity because he's distracted by trying to get the parent in the room to soothe him. Number 2, the parent is anxious, unsure, resentful, exasperated, you name it. The parent who checks needs to be confident, calm, and matter-of-fact. Number 3. Daytime sleep patterns. It's important that baby has enough naps during the day, as this improves regulation and the ability to fall asleep easily. Naps should end by 3:30 or 4:30 p.m. Number 4. Weaning too quickly. Listen to more on weaning in the next section. Number 5. The room is too warm or baby is overdressed. Number 6. Baby needs more tummy time exercise during the day, so he's free to move around the crib and choose his own sleep position. Number 7. The crib is in the parent's room. This is much more difficult because older babies tend to be very activated by the presence of the parents. Number 8. Feeding is the very last component of the bedtime routine. Move the feeding earlier in your bedtime routine and read a story, sing songs, or walk around and tell everything in the room goodnight as the last steps before going in the crib. This also allows baby's tummy to settle before being put down. Number 9. Bedtime and naptime routines are non-existent or are not age-appropriate. We often see parents who drop the naptime routine altogether or are doing a bedtime routine that is suitable for a much younger baby. Number 10. The baby is going through a developmental surge such as sitting, crawling, or most disruptive, pulling to a stand in the crib. During any of these periods, your baby is very excited and single-mindedly intent on practicing his new ability. It's very common for him to wake much more frequently and resist falling back to sleep. When a baby first sits or pulls to a stand, he often needs your help lying back down during each 5-minute check. Once you know that he can get back down by himself, you can let him be. Number 11. Parents give up too soon and break the consistent pattern. It's often just at this moment you're ready to cave and pick up your baby that he finally falls asleep on his own for the first time. This is such a critical turning point. If you give up, you've lost hard-earned ground and given your baby the message that if he protests long enough, you'll pick him up. If you hang in there, new pathways for self-soothing will emerge in your little one's brain. This is the route to his feeling happy and comfortable falling asleep on his own now and in the long run. Using the sleep wave while continuing to feed at night, also for babies 4 to 5 months old. You can work on self-soothing and falling asleep independently while continuing to feed your baby at night. This is the preferred method for many moms who wish to continue breastfeeding at night, regardless of baby's age, and for babies who are ready for the sleep wave before the age of 5 months. To do this, use the sleep wave at bedtime to help your baby fall asleep independently. Then, when your baby wakes up for a regular feeding, you can feed her and put her back in bed awake. Your baby may protest that you've put her down awake, but you can again use your 5-minute checks to respond to her until she falls asleep independently again. If she begins to fall asleep during the feeding, don't let her. Pop her right back into her bed, even if the feeding was shorter than usual. We don't recommend waking your baby again if she's already fallen asleep. Just try to catch her before she drifts off. When you use this method, your baby is getting all the consistent practice at self-soothing without you having to change your nighttime feeding patterns. If you do this consistently for a week or two, your baby may naturally begin to wake up less frequently as she becomes an expert little self-soother. This method also works very well for babies younger than 5 months. The reason that we usually recommend waiting to use the sleep wave until your baby is 5 months old is that this is an age at which most babies have the skills to soothe themselves to sleep by rolling, moving, rubbing their eyes or face, rocking back and forth, and so forth. However, sometimes we meet babies who are ready for the sleep wave at an earlier age, 4 to 5 months, when it's too early to think about weaning from night feedings. This is usually because they are neurologically more mature. For example, they have good motor skills, are already unswaddled, are showing signs of being able to self-soothe, their sleep has recently regressed, or it's taking longer and longer for parents to put the baby to sleep. Here's the story of a quite young baby who was clearly ready to self-soothe to sleep. This baby naturally dropped her night feedings, but she needed the space to figure out how to fall asleep at the beginning of the night. She's a great example of how different every baby can be. The sleep wave with a 3.5-month-old baby. Sarah. When Clarissa was 3.5 months, it was taking longer and longer to get her to fall asleep at bedtime. Nothing I tried seemed to soothe her, and I literally spent 2 to 3 hours on the bouncy ball before she would finally give up the fight and drop off to sleep. The amazing part was that she would then proceed to sleep for 11 hours straight every night. It only made sense to me that she